All right, 402-573-0590 is the number to call if you want to join the program. Joe is with us, has a question about UNO hoops. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to get your thoughts on UNO's potential in the rest of the tournament. I think with a game looming initially, as they expected for a title tilt against FCSU, do you think that they kind of let their guard down against these more underwhelming teams and have a tendency to get upset in a game like that? Or do you feel like they have more confidence now that FCSU is out of the way and can have a clear path to the tournament? So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that question and see what you thought.
Yeah, appreciate it, Joe. And I would say under normal circumstances, Nick, I think that's something that you would have to be concerned about because these are 18 to 22-year-old kids. Like, they're not immune from, you know, knowing the reality and gravity of the situation. But this team, they're a little different. They're just real grounded. And that has been consistent from the very first time we started talking to Darren about this team all the way through now to, you know, their comments even last night about South Dakota State getting bounced from this thing. It's not, you know, one of two, as Packer said before the break. It's literally one of one. I mean, you're playing one night at a time. And just based on the number of times this team has gotten into situations where they should be dead and buried, I mean, they've been down by 16, 18 points at times in games and rallied back to win them, you know, no sweat against a variety of teams in this league. So the mental aspect of it, which Joe was talking about there, I think a normal team, yes, I think you worry about that. But this team, for whatever reason, seems to be immune to a large degree. Unless they're playing Oral Roberts, then different story, but they got bounces from this tournament as well.
I think more than anything, this goes back even 3 years. So you look at when they lost to South Dakota State on a final shot in the Summer League Championship game. And mind you, South Dakota State was a favorite, so it wasn't like UNO dropped their guard. But they had it right there at the tip of their fingers. And there was a handful of guys that were at least on the roster. Two guys that had a lot of contributions in that game, including Mitch Hunt and Zach Jackson, that experienced that disappointment. Then last year, the rash of injuries, you know, and just how really bad that season turned out. And to come back and take on this year, and you point out probably one of the more defining characteristics of this team is I don't think they take anything for granted for the simple fact that every game that they're in is a dogfight. Whether they're playing Western Illinois, they're playing South Dakota State, that they always just feel that they're going to have the answer. And to me, that reflects on a team that understands they got to earn every bit of it. Like, if you're South Dakota State and say that you're hoping to play UNO because that's the number two seed and all of a sudden they get upset and you end up playing a four or five seed, yeah, sure, there might be South Dakota State dropping the guard because they got the home court advantage. I mean, I think we saw that in the South Dakota State-Western Illinois matchup where they felt because they've been here before, they just disposed of a team. They know on paper they are the superior team and they got everything going for them that their guard probably naturally dropped. And by the time that they got things going in the second half, the hole was too big to dig out of. So there's that part. There's that great example. But that's a team that's made the NCAA tournament. That's a team that's really controlled the Summit League. UNO, although they've been close, they've been really close, they haven't really tasted that ultimate moment, that program-defining win. We can look at that South Dakota State buzzer beater this year and say that was a program-defining win. But now that they're out, South Dakota State's out of the picture, that probably feels like even less important than what they're up against tonight and what they could potentially be tomorrow. So I would just look at the way that this team has played every game. And also, you bring up Oral Roberts. That was a game where people thought, I know they haven't done very well in Tulsa. I know that, you know, Oral Roberts beat them earlier in the year, but come on, UNO is a better team. They should win that game. And they still didn't win that game. And they were up by 9 points inside 5 minutes to play that game. So I feel like everything that would need to happen to a team to keep them grounded and humble for every opponent they're going to face, I feel like that has happened to UNO. So if they win tonight and they take on whoever, North Dakota State or Western Illinois tomorrow, and lose that game, I'm with Jeff. You're not losing that game because you're taking some team lightly. I just do not see that in the DNA of this team.
So we got four bids that have already been punched, or four tickets, I should say, however the terminology is, that have technically been punched to the NCAA tournament thus far. The Missouri Valley tournament over the weekend, Nick, was weird and incredibly disappointing all at the same time because I won't hold anything back. I was rooting for Drake big time here because
I went
to Drake and I like D-Rock and, you know, I thought they had a real shot against you and I. We ended up upsetting them this past weekend.
If you didn't root for your alma mater, I'd call you a traitor.
It'd be very disappointing, wouldn't it? So Bradley ends up winning the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament, so they're in. Gardner-Webb ended up winning the Big South. Maybe the biggest upset of the weekend is Liberty winning the A-Sun. They end up beating Lipscomb, who Nick has fallen into kind of one of those interesting debates of, well, were they good enough to warrant at-large conversation? So that's going to be one that if you're a Creighton fan, admittedly, you don't want to see too many of those, where you've got a team, it's an at-large contender, independently, but it's kind of on the bubble, is on the cut line, and Lipscomb is going to fall very much into that category. So, like, I don't know that that pushes Creighton in or out of the field, but it's one that you don't want to see too many of those type things. And then,
yeah, like if Buffalo were to lose the MAC.
Yes, if Buffalo were to lose the MAC, that'd be a problem.
They're 28-3. They're getting in.
Yeah, Murray State is the other team that has punched their ticket out of the Ohio Valley. You do get a couple of them tonight, I want to say. So you got the Metro Athletic Conference, that one's in Albany. You got the Southern gets wrapped up tonight. And then tomorrow, the Horizon League, the Colonial League, the Northeast Conference, and, of course, the Summit League are all tomorrow. So those are the ones that you're going to get here over the next couple days. But, you know, I saw a tweet over the weekend, and I can't remember which of the bracketologists or College Hoops talking heads put it out there. But, you know, when we start talking about the bubble this year especially, Nick, where there's just so many kind of blah teams from major conferences. You know, when you think about a Lipscomb, or another one we're going to get tonight, UNC Greensboro and Wofford. I think, is that, what league is that, TJ? Is that the Southern, maybe, I want to say? Or the MAC, maybe?
Is that the Ohio Valley Horizon? I don't know.
It's one of them. It's hard to keep track of where everybody's at these days. But like,
Ohio Valley's Murray State.
Okay, so Wofford is ranked 20th in the country right now. Lipscomb was ranked in the top 25 for a portion of this season.
And Furman was for a long time, too.
Huh?
Wasn't Furman to begin
Furman,
the year?
Yep, the Paladins, they were in there for a while. You know, the question was posed, you know, do we really need in a field of 68 to make room for, like, the Texases of the world or the TCUs of the world? These teams that play, admittedly, in really good leagues, but, Nick, are just kind of, you know, ho-hum. They're just kind of meh. Or would you rather see the committee find a way to put more of these interesting mid-major teams in that garner, like, national attention, that are ranked in the top 25? I mean, there's a chance that if you know, Lipscomb loses their conference tournament, there's a chance they don't get in. They've had a hell of a year, but, like, the only thing that they can do to get into the NCAA tournament is win their league. And I would have said at one point this season, South Dakota State probably doesn't have the resume to put them in, but, you know, what would you rather see? Would you rather see a South Dakota State that's hot with a, you know, an incredible player like Dom get in and see what kind of damage they can do? Or, you know, do we want to carve out another spot for a, you know, a middle tier Big Ten team that is going to get in just based on resume alone?
See, I'm torn on that.
It's a tough one. It really is.
Because I still feel like that middle of the road Big Ten team is going to have more collective talent. But there is something about, well, let's use Murray State. Now, they won. They beat Belmont, so they're in. But a guy like Morant, that guy's a stud.
Yeah, John Morant, ridiculous.
You got to have him in the tournament. Like, you got to see what he can do. Like, I think back when Davidson made the run, I think they ended up losing to Kansas in the Elite Eight with
Steph Curry.
And that was sort of the, oh, my gosh, look at this kid. You know, John Morant might be the kind that kind of guy. Like, he is fun to watch. So if you've got a, and that's the issue. It's like you're probably going to hold different teams to a certain standard. Like, if you have that type of next level player, and, like, I think South Dakota State fits that category. Now, them losing in the first round of the Summit League tournament, no, they absolutely should not be in. But having a player like Mike Dom, I think, makes it at least intriguing to have a team like that where you have a player that could single-handedly lift a team and really scare a 13, 14, or 15 seed. So there are certain teams that, like, let's use Bradley. I don't know anything about Bradley. They're middle of the road Missouri Valley Conference team, and a conference that's not good. It's bad. Like, do I want to see, like, a team like that that maybe has a good player too? And I'm assuming if you're an at-large type team and you don't win your tournament, you probably do have a stud of a player. But if you're just, like, one of those teams that just, you know, so happen to take advantage of your conference schedule because it's weak and won a game here and there, I want to see a team that represents that stud player, a guy that can just wreck someone's dreams because he's that good. And I don't know if a lot of Ja Morants exist for teams that would, you know, be in the mix for at large. So most of me wants to say no. I'd still rather see the more all-around basketball teams that have just collectively better athletes. But for some of those teams that do have those sort of generational type players, and unfortunately they're just not surrounded with a lot of talent, yeah, that makes for a fun, at least first round matchup. And it makes for a lot of drama. So I think it's always a balancing act. Yeah, you like to see that opportunity for a Cinderella type story, but I also don't want to see that just flooded with teams like that, because a lot of times the statistics kind of play out, the odds sort of play out where those teams just get buried because they can't match up with what they're seeing collectively. Even that one stud player, he can go off for 40, but nobody else scores more than 6 points. Like that also is kind of tough to watch.
Yeah.
So I'd still be opposed to this, and I think this is an unpopular opinion, but if we want to get more teams in, what about expanding the tournament? Just because there's 353 teams now, I just looked back in the year 2000, there was 318 Division I teams. So if we keep increasing the amount of D1 teams that are in the field, or just in general, shouldn't we thus eventually increase the field a bit more?
I don't like that, because I look at the team, or I just look at the season itself this year. Does anybody think after 1 through 30, hell, 1 through 15, anybody else has a shot?
But isn't that the beauty of the NCAA tournament? It's just a one game. It's not the best of seven.
It is. I know, but
I feel like the NCAA tournament more than other events out there is, the point is to win it. I get that. Like, the point is to win the whole thing. However, for some of these schools, just being there and winning a couple of games, a game or being in it is enough to really alter the trajectory potentially of what you're trying to do. Like, think of Florida Gulf Coast a couple years ago. Think about how much fun that Dunk team City. Was watching. And they weren't going to win, but a lot of people tuned in to watch that team. And that program for several years took off because of that tournament success.
Look at Loyola last year.
Exactly.
Final four.
Another one. And how many people knew anything about Loyola Chicago basketball before last season? Nobody.
Nothing.
And they had a good run. I mean, they didn't end up winning. They ended up winning a share of the Missouri Valley Conference title this year, but ended up getting bounced in the semifinals from that league. I think it was actually Bradley that beat them. But, I mean, still, I would say that, you know, like in some other sports, it doesn't do a whole lot for you just to get to the tournament. But in college basketball, I think that's part of the beauty of why we like it so much, is because sometimes teams just being there and putting a scare into somebody, even if they don't win the game, is notable. So, in terms of expanding it, do I want to see, you know, how big would you go? I mean, do you want to add a few more play-in games? I mean, do the play-in games really do anything
see, I don't like
for
the
anybody?
Play-in games.
I mean, and so then you're talking about expanding the field, what, double what it already be? So going to, you know, 128 teams? I mean, I think that's probably a little too big at that point.
Was there like a 92 or 96 number I heard thrown out a couple years ago?
Well, I mean, you could in theory give it
coach,
so...
Well, who's the... One of the more notable coaches thinks that you go over like 100 teams.
Wasn't it a Huggins thing where he thought there should have been like 100 plus teams?
I thought it was Huggins. And this is why I don't like it, is because I do think you start to diminish what the regular season's about. I mean, I think there should be that kind of stress with the bubble. And are we really concerned about the bubble for the 101st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th team?
No.
Like, I feel like when we have those conversations of the teams that got snubbed, apparently, or were on the wrong side of the bubble, I feel like you can make a case for maybe one or two of those teams that their resume maybe added up more so than a team that got in.
Well, and
you get past 75 teams. I don't think we're having that conversation
and
at all.
The screw job conversation that comes into this, like, there's a couple of teams that have a legitimate gripe, right? A couple of years ago, like when Missouri State was in the top 30 in the RPI
I thought
and didn't get in.
The one year that Seth Greenberg coached Virginia Tech, that they were on the bubble, I thought they got screwed out of it too. But I don't feel like we can always come up with all of these teams that got left out where you can make this convincing case. Because we've always said this, if you're on the bubble, clearly you didn't do everything you could have done. Try taking that to like 100 teams.
Well, and I feel like it for Meenick, it's more impactful with teams on the bubble that miss out when they're not Power 5, Power 6 level teams, right? Because sometimes in those cases, like let's take a team from the Missouri Valley that's the, you know, theory Team X that's on the bubble, and you're like, well, they should have done more. The problem is that they only have a few select opportunities. But some of these mid-major teams that miss out have only lost like 3 or 4 games the entire season, whereas, you know, if we're talking about like a, you know, an 18-win Power 5 team that's, you know, 18-12 or whatever that misses out, like, oh, they're on the bubble, they got screwed, but not getting... It's like, they lost 12 games. Like, have one of those fall the other way against a conference opponent, they're probably on the right side of the cut line.
Dana tweets at us and said Big Dance would be watered down like all of the bowl games. And I kind of agree with that, because once you start to reward, and this is the football argument, you reward mediocrity, 6-win seasons, and in some cases 5-win seasons, a losing season, Like, sure, that team may show up like Nebraska did in the first year under Riley, might show up and actually win a bowl game, but does that mean they had this great season? I don't think so. I don't want to see a team that turns out to be the 84th best team in college basketball, and they have just as good of a shot to make a to win a national championship, theoretically, because they're in the tournament, as top-seeded Duke. Like, to me, that does diminish what the regular season's about.
It does, but the only difference between the bowl games and the tournament is once you win or lose a bowl game, that's it. Your season's over,
But it's the product itself. Like, I would not be really all that interested to watch the 87th team take on the 15th team in college basketball. Like, to me, first of all, it would be a bludgeoning to epic proportions. I know everybody's like, well, we might see that crazy upset. No, I'm telling you, it wouldn't happen. How long did it take us to see a 16 beat a 1 seed?
That's true. And you're
how
talking,
awesome was it, though?
It was great, but how long did it take? That's my point. We may never see that again.
Hold on. But what was Baltimore County's, you know, realistic placement? I mean, what was their actual RPI last year when they got in?
I have no idea.
Had to be in the hundreds, for sure, because they won their conference tournament. That's how they got in. They weren't an at-large team. So I would assume, you know, your analogy of, you know, 87 over 1, you're talking, you know, 170 over 170 over, what was Virginia's RPI? Top 5, I think, right? So, I mean,
no, but I'm not talking about like the RPI number, but just like the last team selected, or the, you know, the 75th team selected. What happened was, if we see that again, I will be stunned. Like, I'm so happy I saw that in my lifetime, but if we see a 16 over 1, that's the thing. It has taken that long for that to happen. So, in the hopes of that, that could potentially happen again. Like, the whole, you're saying there's a chance, the one in a million thing, to me, that's not enough to expand the tournament beyond 100 teams. Hell, I think 68 is almost too much.
So, look at this headline for April 2nd, 2010. ESPN, NCAA, 96 team field is best fit. The NCAA appears to be on the verge of expanding the men's basketball tournament team to 96 teams. NCAA Vice President Greg Shaheen detailed plan Thursday. Same time frame as the current 3-week tournament and includes first round buys for the top 32 teams.
Yeah, I know they talked about having buys for all of those teams. And
like, again, I think I'm still against expansion, but look, if we get to 400 Division I teams, you only put in like the top, you know, 68, whatever, 65. Like,
by the time we get to the Final Four, aren't you guys kind of ready for it to end too? Think about how long
My four favorite sports days of the year are the first 4 days of the NCAA tournament.
Oh, mine are too. The first four, because it's the first four. How about day number 28?
Well, I'm assuming.
We get breaks in between those, Nick.
I know we get breaks, but that's just
now, hold on.
That's done.
Hold on.
Just done.
I am assuming what would happen is if you went to 96, and I don't know, I have the plan in front of me, you would be taking the Tuesday and Wednesday of the opening week, and as opposed to having those be like first four games, you would have a full run of tournament games. So you would really only be expanding by 2 days, right? And so we would have that opening week, which mean, hey, look, I'm all for like not working. So like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, potentially that first week would be like, well, and the Saturday, Sunday. So you'd have like 6 days in a row of just nonstop, like go hoops all the time.
I'm telling you guys, the reason we love it is because it's 2 days. It's Thursday and Friday, and then you get the weekend. After that, if you try to overdo it, you are going to turn people off. Mark my word. We love it because of the current system now. We look forward to that Thursday and Friday. It's the end of the week. You don't come back from lunch. I am telling you, if you make that into a week-long thing, by the time you get to the end of the week, even for true hoop heads, beware what you wish for, because you are going to be sick of it.
Hoops hangover.
It's too
it's
much
real.
Basketball.
All right. Plenty more to come on AM 590.
ESPN tomorrow. All right, so I did. I poured all the cold water over expanded an NCAA tournament. And let me end with this, guys. I just don't feel that many teams are worthy of competing for a national championship.
Well,
I
and
just
hey,
don't
that's,
feel that way.
That's always the football argument, and I get that. And I think that there's some real sense because, I mean, you know, how many teams realistically going into next week are going to have the opportunity to win? What, 10? Maybe, and that's probably being generous. I mean,
and I've always felt this about conference tournaments. Like, if I am a team that won a regular season title as opposed to a conference tournament title, I embrace the regular season one more just because that was over time and sustained success throughout 3 months of conference play as opposed to a weekend.
Dude, hey, you're preaching to the choir here. I'm a Premier League guy, and we don't even have, there are no playoffs in the Premier League, man. It's literally whoever won the most games during the entire regular season. You want to talk about making the regular season matter? Nick, you should become a soccer fan, my friend.
Let's not go that far. But what I would say about like some of the mid-majors is, and TJ, you brought this up during the break. Like, if the mid-majors were able, if we expanded, you were able to have your regular season champion go, and then if that person did not win and the tournament champion wins and it's not that regular season champion, they go. Like, honestly, I'd say no, sorry. You win the tournament, cool, but I mean, you won. You got lucky in a three-game stretch.
I would say what would make this really interesting, and I mean like really like Survivor-style interesting, how about you give every conference two bids? One for their regular season winner, and then if somebody different happens to win the tournament, they both go. Because you're going to have somebody somewhere, some conference commissioner that's going to pull the coaches in and be like, look, we have a chance to get two NCAA tournament bids here. We know that you're the better team.
So-and-so needs to go out with an ankle injury.
But we really need you to not win the conference tournament. Now, that's going to be the really small, shady conferences. Because for the most part, you're like, well, and you say to yourself, well, that's going to happen all over the place. Like,
you play to
you're
going to
see that. It's like, nah, you probably won't. Because you're right. You do play to win the game. And good luck taking the competitive fire out of a coach or a bunch of players at the end of the season as you're starting to wind towards the NCAA tournament. So I think that'd be pretty unlikely. And by the way, that's not ever going to happen. But still, that would be, you want to talk about making the last couple weeks of the regular season really matter? There you go.
Like the small conference tournaments, like we've been talking about UNO and the Summit League tournament, it's great because, you know, South Dakota State, they just lost, but they won the regular season. I would say that South Dakota State, whoever wins the Summit League championship game, I think South Dakota State would be just as worthy of going to the NCAA tournament, say, if UNO won it, because of the kind of season they had. Like, I think that the overall regular season should matter. But having said that, I still don't think that many teams should have a chance to win a national title. Like, I still think 68, like when they expand, like, oh, we're going to go for 64, 68. Okay, it's four more teams. But still, like, to me, 64 is a lot. Like, that's a lot of teams to put into the mix and say, well, theoretically, you do have a chance to win a national championship. Now, the odds are against you, but you do have a chance to win it. Like, did you do enough to earn that opportunity throughout the year? Unless you are one of those 24-1 small conference. Okay, cool. Yeah,
well,
let me ask
you this. When was the last time that we actually had a tournament winner, not a team that was in the Final Four, but an actual tournament winner that was to any large degree unexpected? Had to be the Kemba Walker UConn team, probably, right? That actually ended up winning
it? Yeah.
I mean, Kentucky went into the Final Four, I want to say, as an 8 seed 1 year.
VCU was a pretty low seed. I think VCU was
also
an
8. Well,
they were 11 or 12.
But I mean, like, okay, like Loyola was in the Final Four. No, Loyola was in the Final Four last year as a 12, but they weren't good. I mean, they didn't win it. I mean,
no.
So, I mean, again, like my argument before the break was, I feel like the NCAA tournament is unique because it's not just all about winning it. Like the college football playoff. Like, I don't even remember some of these teams that have been in there. It's only four teams you have to keep track of. Like, it's whoever wins it. It's winning the national title that's the important takeaway there. Like, nobody is going to be celebrating any kind of a runner-up finish. Whereas in the NCAA tournament, the inherent value in it to everybody as sports fans is there's more to it, I feel like, than just winning it in the end.
Yeah, there's charming moments. I mean,
one shining moment.
Exactly. If UNO won, if UNO gets to the NCAA tournament and they won a game, that would be amazing.
Be huge.
And that would be celebrated regardless of what they did going forward. All those 15s that beat the two that 1 year when Missouri and Duke lost, like, it didn't matter what those teams did going forward because they already did something so amazing. But how many more teams do we want to give that opportunity to?
That's a fair question.
I think at some point it does become very watered down.